that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green. She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too close to the question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
It's always frustrating when you hit the bar and then you have a header that actually goes wide and there are all sorts of other challenges. And then you have a goalkeeper who decides to actually say, well, I've been in really good form for the majority of the season, so what the hey, I'll just let them give them three. Sorry, Rob, but what can we say? That Villa game. It just shows to show you don't do a Fly Me to the Moon podcast beforehand. Whole thing.
That could be the yes.
It's sort of massive thing.
Yes.
Bad day at the Villa office, do you think?
Well, it certainly was. We looked very much second best. And
it's
so therefore
the playoff semi-final.
Well, it is all over again. It's I think somebody told me that the last Borough player to score against Villa at home was Tunjai, which says obviously we've been in different divisions for a lot of that time, but it's a long time coming, that victory. And there's been times in that, there've been times in the past where we've been at the top of the league and they've been at the bottom of the league, and they've come here and they've hammered us. So yes, it was a very sort of sobering afternoon or evening. And, that means that it's really, really, it's very important indeed that we bounce back. Against Tony Mulgrave's Blackburn.
This is, of course, it's the return of the Mogger back, and apart from the Reading away game, it's an opportunity, I would have thought, to get five straight wins on the bounce, which would obviously put a fine sparkle on the whole system. And it's not impossible to actually do, but it's going to be challenging.
It is. You looked at this month and thought, we've got a lot of home games here, and a really big opportunity, but going into December, it was very, very tight indeed at the top of the division, and there's a potential for somebody to break away at the top and somebody to fall away, that's what
Norwich,
we mustn't do.
Yeah, I mean, Norwich the Canary is beginning to sort of put a sort of run together and grinding out results. Leeds, of course, West Brom.
Yeah.
The curious thing, which I think bamboozled many folk with respect to Borough Villa, was Nottingham Forest 5, Villa 5.
Yes.
And somehow maybe there was just that, somehow the penetration wasn't actually there. It wasn't necessarily the testing of things.
That's right. Obviously, yeah, they scored five goals. But concedes five goals. Yeah.
You might think, however.
Without a doubt, we've the way that we're set up this season, we can be more effective away from home because it was well documented. Tony Pulis said it again and again that he didn't get the pace in the team that he wanted to in the last transfer window, so you therefore feel that we've always felt that that's what we were going to go for in the next window. So therefore, we play pretty defensively, and you could say that that's been Tony Pulis's strength through the different clubs he's been at. But that makes us really hard to beat away from home, to break down, and we can hit teams with set pieces and on the break. But at home, the onus is on you, makes it more difficult.
Well, the two away games are Steve McLaren, of course.
Yes.
And then, of course, we're Reading at the Majeski Stadium, so it's the 15th.
With a new manager.
Exactly.
And Paul Clement left, didn't he?
Exactly.
He was kicked out, man.
Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich Town, and, of course, the big Blackburn system. And Blackburn, I mean, I think Mowbray has done a very satisfactory job, I would say, under the Vankeys.
Oh, yeah.
He's got them back into the Championship. They're a kind of competent mid-table Championship side, possibly with aspirations of going higher. Again, it's interesting in terms of the sort of, if we look at the tables now, we've got Borough, who are on 35 points, and then a little bit below that, Blackburn Rovers coming in at 10th position, but with 29 points, so just 6 points difference.
I think it kind of sums up the division in the fact that Blackburn were hammered, weren't they, by Preston in their Northwest derby, and then we went to Preston with a really tight game there and drew. Blackburn have shown them they've been capable of beating a lot of teams, but yeah, they got turned over by Preston. But I don't expect it to be anything other than a difficult game tomorrow. And I think you're right. It's done a good job. They've got promoted. Sometimes teams come straight through that division, don't they?
Is Jordan Henderson back with them these days? Oh no, he didn't. For some reason, I just had a feeling that maybe it's too many Jordans. We've got Jordan Henderson. I think he's gone to. Who is he playing for these days? We should really find that out. We'll endeavour to find out who Jordan Henderson is. What am I saying, Jordan Henderson? He plays for Liverpool.
Yeah.
I'm completely wrong for that sort of bit, Eugene. I'm thinking about another, the chap who spent time with Borough and then sort of went off to, he came to us from Blackburn, starting with Jordan, Scottish chap. You're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the memory test.
We've got Rudy Gestede who came from Blackburn.
It's not Rudy Gestede.
We've got Jordan Hugill as a centre forward.
Jordan Hugill is actually still with the Borough.
And that's right, and he's the man that hit the bar that you were talking about earlier on.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. I'm sure there's somebody else who's actually there.
There's Danny Graham that ended up at Blackburn from Middlesbrough.
We will have to sort this thing out. Anyway, okay. The good news is, on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion for Blackburn Rovers, which actually in the descriptor we actually sort of give an addition, but of course it isn't technically the companion for the latest edition of Flourish of Them, because there isn't
one, though.
Exactly, it's audio only. But we do have, in terms of audio only, another episode of Mel Small's epic drama to come through.
Brilliant.
That'll be coming up in a matter of seconds from now. And we'll be talking about how Burton, of course, will be another home tie, which could lead to great happiness.
Nigel
and what is it in terms of magic that ensures that Borough just cannot seem to get an away tie in the cup, no matter how much you might try it.
So no.
Another home tie in the FA Cup third round, of course, which will probably be with us before we know it. Although I do believe we've actually got some holiday festivities before then.
I think you might be right.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Hello and welcome to the show. This week we're fielding an unchanged lineup. So a very warm welcome to Fly Me to the Moon's very own Rob Nichols and our local sleuthing heroes, Dr. John Watson and the inimitable Sherlock Holmes.
Hello.
Hello.
Now then.
So, Sherlock, last week when we spoke, you were going to investigate this curious case about a broken Brian Clough figurine. Did you manage to get anywhere with that?
Yeah, we did. Do you want to tell him, Doc?
About what? Your examination of the crime scene or the tour of Dexter's single malt whiskey collection you both went on?
The first thing.
Okay. So, Sherlock and I went across to Dexter's place to review the scene of the crime, so to speak, and found it to be pretty much as Dexter had described. We found no sign of a break-in whatsoever. It was also clear that if someone had intended to steal the figurine, they'd have struggled to get back over the garden wall with it in hand. Sherlock also noticed a mark on the footpath that appeared to be due to a previous attempt to break the figurine. The conclusion being that it was broken on purpose and broken into very small pieces, too.
Interesting. So where do we go from here?
At the moment, not very far. We don't have much to go on. We know the figurine was stolen. I'm pretty sure it was broken on purpose, but there's nothing to say why.
Well, maybe our next caller can help. Rhys from Grove Hill, can you shed any light?
No, mate. I don't think I can. I might be able to shed a bit of darkness, though. I used to have one of those statues. I kind of inherited it when my uncle died. I think he won it in a raffle at a do at Marchant Country Club or something.
You say you used to have one? What happened to it?
Yeah, well, it was weird. We used to have it in a presentation cabinet in the living room, just gathering dust. Then one morning when I was walking the dog, I found it halfway down the road, smashed to pieces. A similar story to that other lad, really.
It sounds like some sort of curse. Or maybe we have a serial killer on our hands. A killer of figurines. Oh,
thank you. That is strange. Do you have any other questions for Rhys, Sherlock? Sherlock?
Rhys. This do at Martin Country Club. What was it for?
It was a works thing. My uncle worked for a jeweller on Linthorpe Road or something.
Is that the place that looks after the orb of Ionopolis? Gelder & Co.?
Yeah, that's the one. He mentioned that a few times.
What do you do, mate?
Oh, nothing exciting. I work in insurance.
Right, okay. Thanks for that.
I can see from Mr. Holmes' face that he isn't going to avail us of his thoughts just yet. However, I do feel the plot is getting thicker. What better time than now to introduce our special surprise guest, Detector Inspector Lestrade.
Oh, for... See what happens when you mention the word thick.
Button it, Sherlock.
At least I can, fat boy.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, what's with all the animosity? I thought all that was the thing of literary invention.
I don't feel any animosity. I just can't stand the clown.
Let me explain something to you, Alex. Sherlock is a very arrogant man.
I'm not arrogant. I just know what I'm doing.
Gentlemen, please. I thought you chaps worked together. I thought you were on the same side.
We are. We just have different approaches. He does his thing and draws his conclusions. I do my thing and draw mine. Then we chat about it for a while and realise that my conclusion is better than his.
Who do you think you are?
Sherlock Holmes.
This is interesting. What is at the root of this enmity, this vituperative abhorrence?
Wow, Alex. It'll take me about half an hour to work out what those words mean.
Look, Sherlock is a talented detective.
Good lad.
But he's conceited. He doesn't think the law of the land applies to him. He thinks he can ignore it and get away with it. It turns out he's not as clever as he thinks he is. A while back he got his fingers burnt, and I had to lock him up.
I knew the risk I was taking, but there was a closing window. They were about to upgrade their security protocols. I put my faith in justice.
We're talking about Wad Whoppers now, the payday loan company you hacked into.
We are, yes.
That's how justice works, Sherlock. You break the law, you get locked up.
What those gadgets were doing was horrendous. They were pushing loans on vulnerable people and then sending the heavies round to lean on them. They needed taking down.
I agree. But there are ways to do things.
Your own auntie was on their list. They turned up at her house. I ended up fighting in the street with two blokes who looked like they went out with the weather girls. It wasn't even raining.
I didn't enjoy locking you up.
You didn't enjoy it? You went on Look North to crow about it. You called me an evil hacker. We used to be mates. We used to play pool together at the forum.
I never went on Look North.
You did. It's all over YouTube, you and Mike Neville. Sometimes it's even you talking. Most of the time it's Adolf Hitler.
I must say, I wasn't expecting that to happen. I thought since the inspector spent that time in hospital, you chaps had put your differences behind you. I can sense some real resentment, Sherlock.
No, I'm not a hater. I believe in angels and fairies at the bottom of the garden. I used to believe that justice was about the greater good. Now I'm not so sure. The only thing I'm left with is logic.
I see. OK, I'm afraid we've run out of time. And I haven't asked the inspector the question I brought him in to answer. Do you have a theory on what's happening to these Brian Clough figurines?
It's obvious. It couldn't be more obvious if it was written in big letters on the side of Newport Bridge. It's an insurance scam. I mean, he has an insurance fella round to value his stuff, and a few days later, some of it ends up smashed to bits. Oh, do me a favour.
Sherlock?
If that's what Mr. Lestrade says.
Sounds like we have a potential solution. We've also ran over time-wise. So, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone out there has an alternative theory, or indeed more information, please get in touch. I hope to see you all next week. The game is afoot.
Do you know what? I'm not really sure where I got that from.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. A tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, then you can always call Farmer Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website farmernord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Farmer Nord, I wonder?
PHARMANORD.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Farmer Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
We normally have a Bernie Slavin item at this particular stage, but we're hopefully going to be supporting Bernie when he is basically providing copies of his latest book, which is his Tales with Alistair Brownlee, in the centre of Middlesbrough, in the Hill Street Centre. So who knows, Rob, maybe we might actually potter down there and actually
yeah.
a new sparklingly bright ident.
Absolutely. Buy his book.
Yeah, exactly. And we'd encourage the listener to do the same, effectively,
yeah.
listening to this beforehand, because admittedly, it may not be up to Oscar Wilde's class.
How do you know?
It's very true. It's quite right. I shall be duly sort of astounded by the line that's actually there. Just as astounded as I was when we finally realised it's Jordan Rhodes.
Yeah.
You might have actually realised the way that we actually played that one off as though, you know, Jordan who? Jordan Henson? No, he's Liverpool. He's ex-Sunderland.
We're Rhodes. Both half asleep. It's ridiculous. Yeah, Jordan Unlike Hill. Jordan Rhodes, who's scoring goals again for Norwich City.
He is. He's on a season-long loan at Norwich from Sheffield Wednesday. Exactly,
yeah.
Where, of course, he went after Blackburn Rovers. At least, actually, after Middlesbrough.
After Middlesbrough.
Exactly. It's the interim period. It's all about the confidence, which is very true when it comes to Middlesbrough, because, as we look at that, we look at the cup opportunities and so on, and it could be by the time we start considering Frank Lampard's Derby County official trademark name on January the 1st, we will be in a period where actually Borough are pulling away. That's potentially what we could have.
Yeah, well, let's hope we can turn it around.
Because again, after that, I suppose January, away to Derby, away to Birmingham City, home to Millwall, home to Bristol City. There aren't any easy games at all, but there is that clutch of clubs, as you said, that are sort of sitting in the Championship. Much as I hate to say, I think Leeds are looking... they're grinding out results.
Oh, they look very strong. Everyone was expecting them to fall away by now, but they haven't.
Mm. Yeah. I won't talk about any past history when it comes to Borough in the new year, because as has been pointed out, and you mentioned it in the first part of the programme, Rob, it's all about the transfer window and what wheeling and dealing can be actually done to sort that thing through. Gusted, hand on heart, I don't think he's necessarily the solution to anybody's prayers at that particular stage.
Well, he's struggling to stay fit, and Sambalanga, hasn't really done it this season.
Jordan Hugill, clearly big Borough fan and delighted to actually be doing the setup, etc., but a bit more help and assistance would be worthwhile.
It'd be interesting to see whether once again, like the last window, it's a case of a lot of clubs loaning players rather than signing outright, and also whether some of those players that were reluctant to leave Premier League clubs, whether they'll be wanting to leave for the rest of the season to put themselves in the spotlight again. You know, many players that they need to, minutes on the pitch, And, yeah, hopefully that's the case, that we can get somebody in.
Of course, last season, Jack Harrison joined on loan.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And,
at Leeds now, you know, of course.
Doing some superb stuff,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That was a surprise in many respects that we didn't actually sign him up again. Yeah.
I thought he might, particularly as I think on the rare occasion he did actually get a game, he actually provided the cross from a corner, which led to a goal in the sort of latter part of the...
He scored at Burton.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Burton, of course, are coming up for us together with Nigel Clough.
Yes.
So once again, the Clough dynasty connects with
Middlesbrough,
which is great from that perspective. We'd probably say we're expecting Borough to actually do the business against Burton, but it is a home tie, as we pointed out.
Yeah.
That's one of the challenges about being at home. You can't play it as though it's a away match.
We played extremely well in the competition, and I would think we will do what once again. As it's progressed, we've put out a more and more experienced team. If you think at the very start of the run, we had the youngest ever player
to Benz.
Nathan Wood playing at centre back, the youngest ever Borough player in a competitive match. But we've got more and more seniority as we've gone through. But it's been really exciting watching the games, and as long as we don't go into that match thinking that it's a foregone conclusion, because Burton played really, really well in beating Nottingham Forest to get through. So I think it'd be great
if Karanka had returned for the.
I know. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
And let's talk briefly about QPR and Reading. I try to avoid the cliche coming thick and fast, but we do have a situation whereby after Blackburn tomorrow, then there's that week.
Oh, there's a lot of games.
And then QPR. Actually, it's Burton before QPR, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the midweek.
So we've got Blackburn, Burton, then QPR. So there isn't actually a break, in essence. You're sort of working through that. Steve McLaren, is he managing to effectively redeem and rescue his reputation?
Very difficult club to go to, QPR. They've paid for a long time for their
Mark Hughes.
It was Mark Hughes and Harry Redknapp, and they brought in an awful lot of players, if you remember.
Lots of money, lots of spending,
lots of
ill-advised spending.
Broke the bank, really. Mm. And then they actually broke fair play rules as well, didn't they? And then had to pay a lot back.
I prefer not to talk about those sorts of things.
Yeah, of course.
Because, there's a certain sort of witch hunt that seems to be sort of promoting. I regularly speak to a Grimsby Town fan who keeps saying that the city effectively are sort of criminals and shouldn't be allowed in any way, shape or form.
Okay.
It's a big game.
Different sort of fair play in the Football League. Mm. I'll say that for your benefit. But without doubt, you know, that QPR spent far more than they were bringing in through their attendances. So therefore, the
basic economics,
to get in
as chancellors would actually say, politicians would say, if you continue on that sort of basis, you probably sort of have one or two challenges.
Yeah, the bottom line was they weren't good enough to get in the Premier League. They got in the Premier League and didn't stay there, and now they've had real problems ever since. And I think they've been desperate to try and move to a new ground. I think that they've been knocked back again by the authorities. I always like going to Loftus Road, although it's mad. The tickets are all designated obscured view or very obscured view, things like that. It's a little
bit irritating.
Yeah. But you do get a chance to sit right on top of the pitch there, in a way that you don't anywhere else, really. It's going to be, again, it'll be a tough game, but we've got a pretty good record lately at Loftus Road.
And then just prior to our next podcast, of course, away to Reading, as we said. Interesting sort of line. I mean, from Yapstam onwards, really. They've sort of had
we haven't got a good record at Majeski. But it's time to
put that right.
But you always worry about when a manager goes, whether there's some sort of bounce that happens. Another team that as a club really, that they've not really found the feet since they've bounced up and down from the Premier League. They've been down a few years now, and they've never looked the same.
And how's Tony Pulis at his press conferences? Still as positive as ever? Does he still stand?
He still stands with his hat.
The general vibe, positive, he's upbeat. I mean, I'm getting a sense that he's not, shall we say, doing a Strachan, which we had a few years ago.
No, I mean, obviously there's a lot of criticism from supporters, which always follows him around, doesn't it, about the tactics he deploys and whether the football's good to watch, or is it effective? And it's got to be the ends justifies the means. And at the moment, it's really important that we do come back after that Aston Villa defeat, because it will have dented a lot of people's confidence in the stands, hopefully not the players.
It has that West Brom, Nottingham Forest, Sheffield United and Derby literally just outside. You've got that clutch of clubs that effectively had things gone slightly differently, and it hadn't been a case of points dropped or indeed defeats. Things. Mind you, if you're going to actually sort of demolish your defensive record, it's one way, and they certainly did do that in a 3-0 scenario. Things could be more challenging. Peter Kenyon could be looking at who
take
I'm still saying that maybe the best solution really for our friends slightly north of Borough would be to actually amalgamate and actually have it as Suncastle United.
Ooh.
They could wear black and red stripes. Anyway, that's my random suggestion for 2018.
I'm sure that's
do you think it would go down well with
I think
that?
I was just thinking that. It's bound to go down well on the Tyne and the Weir.
Yeah, exactly. Any sort of Mackhams and so go around from that point of view. Sort of
love you.
Suncastle United, that would be the way forward. It would be like a new harmony for the world, you know, for that basis. That's it. The end of another fantastic podcast, an audio-only podcast, clearly, because we haven't done videos yet. I don't know, we may drop in video one of these days. And we haven't asked you as yet, Rob, of course, how can people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine?
Oh, well, actually, I've just launched a special sort of Christmas subscription, which is £15 by PayPal. So if you click on fmttm.com and click on the subscribe button, then there's all the details of how you can subscribe for the last 6 games of the season, and might even throw in a Christmas card as well.
Whoa.
Because the next game that we're doing is Boxing Day, which hopefully you shall get your fanzine before Christmas. So
exactly. Or if not, you know, it's the anticipation, the sort of joy and various other bits. You hold it fire on that system. That's it then. As we said, final few words to be said after 3, 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.